us going to the word, let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. Our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of God's word. There is no confusion as God's word is taught. The truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no contradiction as we teach God's word. And we declare and decree that as we go into the word at the end of this meeting as saints, we are edified. And Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah, you would like to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 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 It says, Paul to Timothy, it says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. It says, all scriptures given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now, so from verse 15, Paul lets us know, or lets Timothy know, or lets us know that Timothy knows something. He says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Yeah, the word there, holy, means something that is set apart, something designated for a particular purpose. Yeah, something that is put aside for a particular purpose or with a particular intent. So the word the scriptures really speaks about the writing. So that from a child, now we've established over and over that from a child will not imply, you know, when Timothy was born by his mother or from his mother's womb. In the real sense, it is that, and from where you set out as a saint. So he's talking about the spiritual infancy of Timothy, you know, about the knowledge. So he says, and that from a child, that and from where you set out as a saint, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. The word they're able there speaks about an ability. Yeah, to make thee wise is the word that speaks about being skillful. He says, they're able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So the scriptures at this time will be Genesis to Malachi, not Genesis to Revelation. Yeah, because at this time, Paul was just writing the letter called Timothy to the Timothy. Yeah, so, and that from a child that was known the Holy Scriptures will not include Timothy. So it will be what? Genesis to Malachi. Yeah, what the apostles, the disciples, Jesus had as their scriptures was Genesis to Malachi. Now, Paul lets Timothy know that, oh, there's an ability of Genesis to Malachi. Oh, there's an ability of Genesis to Malachi, and it's to make thee wise unto salvation. So there's a way to read Genesis to Malachi, and you receive a wisdom. Now, there's a way to read Genesis to Malachi, and you receive another wisdom. One wisdom can be in reference to salvation through faith, which is in Christ. And another wisdom can be any other kind of wisdom. But Paul says, you know that scriptures are to make you wise. So the intent and goal of scriptures is to supply wisdom or to supply skillfulness in regards to salvation. So Paul now tells you in verse 16, all scriptures given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. The word there, profitable, is advantageous. So advantageous for doctrine, that's the word they're teaching. It says for reproof, for correction. Yeah, the word there, reproof, speaks about an assurance. Yeah, for correction means to rectify or to straighten up a thought pattern. And it says for instruction in righteousness. So this is very fundamental to the saints. Now, so you see, what you call the scripture, Genesis to Malachi, can be read and your attention will end on the stories of the books. Oh, if you are not careful, your attention will end on the stories that Moses wrote. If you are not careful, your attention will end on the stories that other prophets wrote. Yeah, but your attention will, okay, look, in fact, go back to chapter 2. Go back to chapter 2. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God. The word there, study, means to be diligent. So, be diligent to show thyself as one who is approved of God. He now says, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. Now, dear saints, let me say this. Yeah, you have to be diligent to be able to receive the wisdom that scriptures gives, or the wisdom that scripture supplies. I'll say that again. Paul had told Timothy, study to show thyself as one who is approved of God, a workman. The word a workman is like a toiler, a laborer, that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So there's a right way of dividing the word of truth. There is a wrong way of dividing the word of truth. See, that rightly dividing the word of truth is a single Greek word, rightly dividing. It is a word that means being careful in your handling. Yeah, so if you're not careful in your handling, which really requires diligence, you might end up getting wise onto something else. Yeah, but scriptures are to make the wise unto salvation. So the intent of scriptures is to supply wisdom regarding salvation. So he says you must be a laborer, by extension, a laborer that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the message, the truth, the word of truth. Yeah, so remember, if we go back to chapter 3 again, he now says, and that from a child thou hast known that scriptures are to make the wise concerning salvation. Look at verse 16. It says, all scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, is advantageous for doctrine. So, as saints, where do we teach from? We teach from scriptures. Hold your thoughts. Go to Acts 26. Acts chapter 26. Verse 19. Look at Acts chapter 26, verse 19 quickly. Look at the book of Acts chapter 26. Is that what I said? Acts 26, verse 19. Look at Paul's defense. All together. Look at Paul's defense. Now, whereupon, verse 19, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Look at verse 21. For these causes the Jew caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. That means they sought to kill him. Now look at verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God. This is Paul's defense, yeah, in front of King Agrippa. Having therefore obtained the help of God, I continue unto you this day. For him to continue, it means that is where he started. Right? So I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come to pass. Hold your thoughts. What did Paul tell Timothy? Scriptures are to make you wise unto salvation. Who are the authors of scriptures? Moses and the prophets are the authors of scriptures. Hold your thoughts. Okay, keep following, please. Yeah, Moses and the prophets are the authors of scriptures which supply wisdom regarding salvation. Remember, Paul says, scriptures make thee wise concerning unto salvation. The same Paul is defense in Acts 26. He says, I continue until this very day. Yeah, so for Paul to continue, it means that's where he started. So it means that Paul started from scriptures. Yeah, so I continue unto this very day, witnessing both to small and to great, saying no other things than those which the prophets, than Moses. Now, so Paul in his letter to Timothy lets us see the summary of what the prophet and Moses spoke about. What did he tell Timothy? It is salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. How do we know? Look at verse 23. Look at verse 23. It says that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Look at verse 24. See the response that he gave Paul. And as he thus spoke for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. You see, Paul gave his defense. What was Paul saying? See, what you hear me say to this day is the same thing I have been saying, and it's the same thing that Moses and the prophet did say should come to pass. What did they say should come to pass? That Christ should suffer and should be the first to rise from the dead. That is the offering that God gives concerning salvation. Can you see? So when they ask you what is details of salvation, salvation is an offering that Christ gave by his sufferings, that is his death and his resurrection. So, he says, verse 25, he says, but he said, I am not mad. Yeah? Most noble Festus. yeah, with respect, but speak forth the words of truth, yeah, and soberness. Hold your thoughts. So we've seen Paul verifies that scripture speaks about Christ's suffering and his resurrection. Let's see something again. Go back to John 1:45. Look at John chapter 1, verse 45. Remember, thou must be skillful in Bible study with so much diligence so that you can get and receive the wisdom of scriptures, which is salvation that is through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now look at John 1:45. Look at John chapter 1, verse 45. Bible says, Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, he says, so what did Philip say to Nathanael? He says, we have found him of whom Moses in the law. So Moses in the law will not be the Ten Commandments. Moses in the law will be the writings of Moses. We've explained that over and over. So we found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. So it means that Moses in the law and the prophets did write about a person. Paul's defense in Acts 26 shows us that it is about a person suffering and being the first to rise from the dead. The same Paul, to his spiritual son Timothy, tells us it is about a person who offers salvation. Are we together? Yeah, so we found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophet did write. Who is the person? Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So Moses in the law, the prophet, they wrote about Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now hold your thoughts there. Remember, in Genesis chapter 1 to Malachi, the last chapter, yeah, there is no mention of Jesus Christ in those scriptures. Did you get that? Look at it. Look at, we've seen two, three scriptures saying that Genesis to Malachi speaks about a Jesus. But there's no mention of the name, what you call the English name Jesus today, or Christ, from Genesis to Malachi. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, we want to debate the fact that, you know, Yahushua is Joshua and all of those things. Yeah, but you will not see it as a Jesus, this particular Jesus. You will not see it as Christ, this our Christ. I want to get that. But Philip says, now hold on. Before John wrote down the book of John, right? Jesus had done his teaching for 40 days. That's a very, very important thing to write, to take home. Before John wrote the book of John, Jesus had died and resurrected before he taught them for 40 days, then they wrote. Now, Philip, in this encounter written by John, he says, Philip says to Nathanael, we have found him of whom Moses and the prophets did write about. So it means that Moses and the prophet is fundamental to our Christian faith today. Some people, if you ask them, explain what this book of scripture says in Exodus, it's under the law. Leave it. It's under the law. Let's look at grace. We know the grace. Yeah. So in looking at grace, you must understand the Old Testament books. See, you cannot effectively teach the New Testament books without teaching the Old Testament books. Why? Because the New Testament books were written on the basis of the Old Testament books. Yeah, permission to use the word Old Testament and New Testament, because in this series we'll find out that the Old Testament is not really Old Testament but really the Word of God. Yeah, you find out that the New Testament is not really a New Testament but it is really the Word of God. Yeah, because you realize that God's plan, which is what makes us call it New Testament today, actually started at the beginning. Yeah, so it is not Old Testament that existed in quotes before New Testament. It is God's word that has been communicated through the ages. So hold the thoughts, right? Yeah. So Philip says unto Nathanael, this is the person that Jesus, our prophet and Moses, wrote about. Jesus. Look at chapter 5. See what Jesus says about himself. Look at chapter 5. Look at John chapter 5, verse 39. See what Jesus says. John 5:39. He says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Now, so in this narrative, the tone at which Jesus gives that statement will show you that he's speaking about an activity they had done. Right? Look at it. So if you say, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. For him to say, for in them you think, it means that they already searched before they had that thought. Right? So there's a word missing in verse 39. There's a word that is silent or missing there, ye. Yeah. So it is read properly as ye search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. Look at verse 46. Paul, Jesus now says himself, he says, for had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. What did Philip say to Nathanael? This is the person Moses wrote about. What did Jesus say? If you believe Moses, you will believe me, because Moses wrote of me. In the writings of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you will not see Moses say Christ or say Jesus Christ is coming. You will not see Moses say salvation is coming. Yeah, but you will see that Jesus says that Moses wrote of him. So it means that in the writings of Moses, we need to be diligent students to see how Moses wrote about a person. So you see Moses say Abraham. You see Moses say Isaac. You see Moses say Jacob. You see Moses say Noah. You see Moses say Joseph. You see Moses say Adam. You see Moses say Eve. But Jesus is telling us Moses is not writing about Adam. Moses is not writing about Eve. Moses is not really writing about Abraham. He's writing about me. For if you believe Moses, you will believe me. See verse 47. He says, if you believe not his writings, who is the his writings there? That's Moses. How shall you believe my words? So the writings of Jesus or the writings of Moses were the words of Jesus. Yeah, in the real sense, the message of Jesus were the writings of Moses. So there is nothing that Jesus taught that wasn't pre-written by Moses. Did you get that? All the teachings of Jesus had a foundation in Moses. Did you get that? All the teachings that Jesus did, all that Jesus said, all that Jesus taught, he didn't teach it from the blues. He taught it from Moses. He taught them from Moses. He now says, if you believe it's right, you'll believe me. Why? Because Moses wrote about me. So it means that you can't just wake up and say Genesis is the Old Testament. Oh, no, it's under the law. Now we're under grace. The person that brought grace to your doormat told you that you have to believe that person because he wrote of me. So it means that Moses in his writing, even though you see what they call law, Ten Commandments, he wrote about a person full of grace. So who was the first person to write about grace in the Bible? He's not Jesus. He's not any of the apostles. It is Moses. Are we together? Yeah? Look at 46 again. He says, if you have believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Moses wrote of me. So you cannot read Jesus' teachings in isolation from Moses. Did you get that? Yeah, you cannot read Jesus' writings in isolation. You cannot read Jesus' messages, his words, his parables in isolation from Moses. Are we together? Look at Luke. Look at Luke's Gospel 24, verse 44. Look at Luke's Gospel 24, verse 44. Luke's Gospel 24, verse 44. See something very important there, dear saints. Look at Luke's Gospel 24, verse 44. And Jesus said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you. Now, what did he say about his words in John 5, 47? If you believe not Moses' writings, you cannot believe my words. Jesus now tells you in verse 44 of Luke 24, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you. At this time, what does while I was yet with you mean? It means before my crucifixion. Yeah? What did he say? That all things must be fulfilled. Which were written where? He took it back to Moses, in the law of Moses. So everything Jesus said before his death, all the messages and the teachings of Jesus before his death, and the teachings of Jesus after his death, they were all predicated on Moses. They were all the same message. Different choice of words, different uses of words, different uses of English language, or whatever, Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, and so what have you, but they were saying the same thing. So he says that while I was yet with you, that all things will be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me. Now, if you check consistently, something has been consistent in what Jesus has been saying. See verse 45, it says, then open he his understanding, that they open he their understanding rather, that they might understand. The word they open there means to open something up for the first time. Their understanding there means their mindset, nous, N-O-U-S. So that they might what? The other understanding, there is a word that speaks about synchronizing. Just like when you take different strands of broom and put together, tie together and sweep your room. Yeah, it now makes sense when you bring everything together. So he opened their understanding that they might synchronize the scriptures. Yes, and he said unto them, that he said unto them is that he kept saying unto them. How do we know? Acts 1 shows us that Jesus taught for 40 days after the resurrection. So what Luke summarizes in 5 verses, it happened for 40 days. So it is, and he kept saying unto them that it is written. And thus it be of, where was it written? In the writings of Moses and the prophets. Hold on. You see prophets as consistent in these books we have been talking about. Right? So he says that Christ should suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. What did Paul say to King Agrippa in Acts 26? I have been saying, or I continue to say, none other than those which Moses and the prophet did say should come to pass. So it means that even though Moses and the prophet said some things should come to pass, the message that we're saying should come to pass is what we continue teaching today. Paul says, I have not stopped to say the same thing. So I said, we must never get tired of saying the same thing. Yeah, and so I'm sure a lot, sometimes you might say, Pastor, why are you going to Luke 24? We know Luke 24, we know the Greek word. Yeah? We know it's noios. We know it's endemonio. We know it's Paul says, I continue. See, there is something called repetition as saints, to saints, for saints. It is for our good. Yeah, we need to keep getting used to it. So if we say open to Luke 24, yeah, you don't just look at the ceiling or look at your neighbor and say, I know what Luke 24 says. You open it because Paul is actually, so the same things Paul said up until when he came to his defense in front of King Agrippa is the same thing he said after his defense and the same thing we have to say today. What is it? The message. It is written that it behoved Christ to suffer. Nowhere in Genesis or Malachi will you see Christ is to suffer, but it is written that Christ is to suffer. So we have to be diligent and painstakingly go through scriptures to see how Christ was to suffer and how it was said and how Christ will rise from the dead. Go back to verse 24. Look at verse 24. Look at verse 24. Look at verse 24. Luke's Gospel 24, verse 24. Look at it, yeah? And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said. But him they saw not, who did not see? Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophet has spoken. Can you see? What were they to believe? All that the prophet has spoken. Hold on. What were they to believe? All that the prophet has spoken. So it means that the prophet had a consistent message. We started that teaching on Sunday. Yeah? How do we know a prophet of God? Is he one that sees people's phone number? Have at least see that. Yeah? He have at least can know what will happen to you tomorrow. A good one. Yeah? You will discover that in the real sense, have at least will not open Genesis to try to explain to you what will happen tomorrow. Yeah? But in the real sense, a herbalist can prophesy. A herbalist can tell you who the next governor is. See, you know, like I said on Sunday, word of knowledge, word of wisdom is not unique to the saints. What makes a saint distinct is what he or she does with the word of knowledge and word of wisdom. Yeah? So if you come and say, I see your name. I always say, I see a Simon. Yeah? Besides Simon, I see five sisters behind him. Yeah? Okay. After five sisters, I see you're from the north. Okay. I see that you plan on going to Canada. Okay, yeah, you've done all of that. Okay, then you guys see that everybody praise the Lord, go and sit down. Yeah, there's no difference between you and the herbalist. If I herbalist, we won't take you further than that. Yeah, but how do we know a prophet of God? Yeah, we don't know a prophet of God by the people who the congregation tell or say, prophesy a pastor or prophesy a prophet and open my file case. No, see, we can see in the spirit, know in the spirit, but that doesn't mean we are of God. Let me say it this way. A man can know in the spirit, see in the spirit. Let me know you say in the spirit. Yeah, let's leave that for ourselves. A man can know information from the past, know information from the future, and what you call him a prophet, or in the recent, might be a herbalist. Yeah, in fact, the difference between a lot of herbalists and a lot of prophets today is just that some wear suits with white inner shirt and black tie, while others tie wrapper with their bare chest with chalk on their chest. Yeah, really, it's really the same thing. But how do you distinguish that which is a prophet of God? We will look at that today. So the prophets were saying something consistent, but they were to believe. Now, what did Jesus say? He says, "Oh fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Verse 26, he says, "Ought not Christ to have suffered?" So it means that there was a consistency in the messages of the prophets. Do you understand? So, oh gracious Father, so it means for each of the prophets to qualify to be amongst the 30 how many books of the Old Testament is 36, 29, yeah, so 66, 37, yeah. So it means that for you to be a prophet, to qualify to be amongst those books in what you call the Genesis to Malachi books, it means that your message must have been consistent with Christ suffering and entering into his glory. Christ suffering and entering into his glory. And what did Jesus do? Beginning at Moses, verse 27, and all the what? Prophets. So if you realize consistency in all the writing, in Moses, in Paul speaking, in Philip to Nathaniel, in Jesus himself, he said Moses and the prophets. So the first person in the entire scriptures to write about God's promise is the person called Moses. So it means that you cannot be a student of scriptures without having to read and understand Moses. I'll say it again. You cannot adequately understand scriptures without having to read Moses and understand Moses. Because every other writer, including your Lord, my Lord and Savior, they taught their immediate audience from the writings of Moses. You see, Jesus, who is God in the flesh, did not come and say, I see, I know something. No, he studied scriptures and taught from scriptures. Are we together? So, Joshua to Malachi, like we saw on Sunday, they have their background with Moses' writings. Right? Moses' writings, by extension, the prophet's writing, is what you see that Jesus, the apostles, Peter, Paul, had their writings predicated on. So the background of the writings of Moses is a people. Remember, Moses was born in Exodus and wrote Genesis. So at the time Moses was born, he had to write about his fathers and his forefathers. Are we together? Yeah, we saw on Sunday that the background of the writings of Moses is Genesis. And we said that in this series, we will discover that the reason for Genesis is the book of Exodus. We mentioned that on Sunday, but just follow attentively. Now, remember something very, very importantly, right? We've seen that Jesus says that the prophets spoke about Jesus. We've seen something. Jesus says that the prophets spoke about himself. Paul says that the scriptures, which is the writings of the prophet, is about salvation and a person. Now, never forget, the first person to write about God's will or God's promise, yes, or God's message, is actually Moses. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 4. How do we know a prophet? Do we know a prophet by seeing visions? Oh, no, no, no. The epistles do not teach prophecy as that. Yeah? Or let me say it this way. The epistles do not teach knowing prophet as that. We'll see why. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Or look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. We'll read from verse 8 downwards. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. See what Paul says. He says, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. So, upon the resurrection, upon the ascension, upon the glorification, Jesus gave gifts unto men. Now look at verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also was descended first into the lower part of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now, remember in verse 8, it says he gave gifts to men. Yeah. Now, let's look at the gifts he gave unto men. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, if you have a good Bible, the word there, some, before and prophets, before evangelists and before pastors, they do not have a Greek translation. The only some in verse 11 that has a translation is the some before apostles. And that word is the Greek word that speaks about certainly, assuredly, indeed, or truly. Yeah? Let me say it again. Yeah, the Greek word for that word, some. Now, if you read the Bible in isolation without going back to the Greek and Hebrew manuscript, you will miss a lot of words and their meanings. That word there, some, that was translated, is not the way you use the some in today. So if you have a group of 20 children, and you say some of you are going to climb the wall, yeah, in a real sense, what you say, what you mean is that a part of that 20 will climb the wall. But this some, as used in the Greek manuscript, is a word that speaks about truly, indeed, certainly. So a better way to read Ephesians 4:11 is, and he gave truly, or he gave certainly, or he gave indeed, or he gave assuredly. So he gave also, he certainly gave. That's how to read it. Not he gave some people apostles. You see, it's a teaching that we need to actually address. Yeah. We need to be careful when we teach about the concept of predestination in scriptures, from scriptures. Yeah, which is why we're doing this series. Yeah, some people actually teach that predestination involves that, oh, before my mother gave birth to me, God said I will be a prophet. Why you? God saw that your lips will be big and you will have a big nose. Yeah, or you have big foot. Yeah, you have to be an evangelist. The gifts that Jesus gave are offices that people can operate in. Are we together? Yeah, the grace that God gives to people is the grace he gave upon resurrection. Yes, he gave certainly, is he gave indeed. So when you see apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, they are offices that people can grow into. Are we together? Are we together? I'm giving you a tip of the iceberg, right? See, it's a long journey. Yeah, it's there are offices and functions that people can discipline themselves and grow into. So he gave certainly apostles, some prophets, some evangelists. Those sons are not there. So he gave certainly. So the gifts that he gave upon resurrection include apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, pastoring teachers, pastors, or weak pastors, which are teachers. How are we together? Verse 12. For is now all of them. Now he didn't say apostles are the ones that go into a city and storm a city. No, Paul didn't say that yet. He said he didn't say prophets are those who see his phone number. Yeah, can you see my phone number? Can you see the color of my underwear? You are a prophet. He says he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. They all have a common goal. Look at verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry. So it means that no matter the office you operate in, either they call you apostle, either they call you prophet, they call you evangelist, they call you teacher, there is a singular goal for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry. Look at it again, though. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Look at it again, verse 13. He now says, till we all come in the unity of faith. So, unity of faith here doesn't mean that five churches in an environment are teaching different doctrines. But at the end of the year, they come back and do entire sports. Eh, you now see the pastors of the church, they now say the pastors should come and do sacrifice. Or you now say the pastor's wife should come and carry egg in a spoon and run to the finishing line. And I say, oh, wow, we are doing unity of faith. The unity of faith that Paul teaches here, the word there and is the Greek word kai, and it speaks about that is, I mean, or which is. Are we here? So, till we all come in the unity of faith, I mean, that is of the knowledge. So how do we know we are united in the faith? We are united in the faith by we saying the same thing about the knowledge of the Son of God. Are we together? Are we together? Not God's palace. You know, you'll be pink house. Eh? God's place. You'll be yellow. Then your pastors will come. Yeah. Then they will do first to not tie. Or they'll do first to finish 5 Indomie packs. Yeah, oh, we are in unity. When we now go back to our churches, we'll now be saying different. No, the unity of faith that Paul teaches about is unity in knowledge. So it means that both apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and what have you, they have a singular goal to bring unity in knowledge. Do you see that? Including the prophets. So including the prophets, your goal is to bring unity in knowledge. Not, see, now, it didn't say for the perfecting of saints, for them to flow in the things of the Spirit more. It didn't say for them to be united as they prophesy. No, it is in reference to knowledge. So, verse 13, it says, till we all come in the unity of faith, I mean of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect stature, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now look at 14. That we henceforth be no more children. So it means that the goal of the apostles, prophet is to build people from being children, or to grow people, or to grow children to become adults. Did you get that? Yes, the goal of the apostles, the goal of the prophets, the goal of the evangelists is to grow children from being children to become adults. So that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of what? Doctrine. You see that? So it means that the goal of the prophet is to build a saint who becomes born again to be able to what stand firm in reference to the knowledge of the Son. So it means that, look at it. If I call myself a prophet today, for instance, and I come to an every time I'm teaching you about the things of the spirit and that alone, I'm not fulfilling what the goal of the gifts is to be for men. Why? Because it is to bring you to perfection as a saint. What is perfection for the work of ministry? What is that? Unity in the knowledge of the Son of God. Are we together? So how do you know a good prophet? A good prophet is one who takes a child and grows him in the Lord. A good apostle is one who takes a child in doctrine and grows him in the word. A good pastor is one who takes a child and grows him in the word. Are we together? Yeah, so that those offices are offices that people operate in for the same uniform goal, unity of faith. What is the end goal? That children are not tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Are we together? He now says in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. You know, this is scripture where a lot of people say, praise the truth in love. You are too harsh. You are hard. Speaking the truth in love really speaks about teach the truth that is found in love. So out of love that I have for you, I will tell you the truth of the knowledge of the Son of God. Not my tone. Because who determines the tone? A lot of times people that listen that want to determine the tone. See, there are a lot of times you can say things calmly, and somebody will say you are rude. Yeah, so how possibly do you want to say about the truth in love when a Paul told people foolish Galatians? The same Paul telling Ephesians 4. Yeah, so in the real sense, speaking the truth in love is teaching the truth found in love, because it is love that builds. Hallelujah. It is love that strengthens. It is love that edifies. 1 Corinthians. Paul teaches the same in 1 Corinthians. Are we together? So speaking the truth found in love, what is the goal? That ye may grow up into him in all things. Now, it didn't say teach the truth with a loving voice so that their ego will not be bruised. No, no, no. The truth of God's word would actually bruise people's ego. That's the honest truth. See, the truth of God's word when taught in simplicity, yes, it has a tendency to bruise in any man's ego. Think about it. Imagine you're teaching a teaching, or you're teaching something for maybe 20 years. Someone comes and shows you how unintelligent that teaching is from scriptures. It bruises your ego. See, no matter how calm, if you don't have an open heart to receive God's word, you will say the person is rude. Yeah? So, speaking the truth in love is speak the truth found in love, that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, that is Christ. So, what is the goal of the prophet? To build. So, the goal of God's spokesperson is to build what? Children to become adults. Are we together? Are we together? Never forget that. So, God communicates his words in human language. We started looking at that on Sunday, which is what we're paying attention to today. Yeah? God communicates his words in human language. So, in each of the various prophets and their times, yes, the words at those times were communicated to the people based on the words in existence at their times. Even though the writings of Moses were their fundamental books. Yeah? Every other prophet wrote from Moses. Yeah? So God speaks his plan through his spokesperson. Yeah? That's why you see, Jesus said in Luke 24, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Right? So what were they to believe? God's plan, God's promise from the lips of the prophets. Now, we looked at it on Sunday. The word there, prophet, is the word there, Nabai. N-A-B-I-Y. That's the Hebrew word, prophet. N-A-B-I-Y. And it's a word that speaks about a seer, a spokesperson, a foreteller. A foreteller. Yeah? Yeah? One who speaks on behalf of a seer. We looked at a few examples on Sunday. I will start this narrative on Sunday about the first person that was called or referred to as a prophet in the entire Bible. It was definitely the man called Abraham. You know, some of us said Moses, but in the real sense, it is actually Abraham. So Abraham was the first person that Moses referred to as a prophet. So Abraham was the first person referred to as a prophet in scriptures. But let's see where he did that. Look at Genesis chapter 20, verse 7. Genesis 20, 7. Genesis chapter 20, verse 7. Genesis 20, 7. Look at Genesis chapter 20, verse 7. I hope we're learning something here this evening. Genesis chapter 20, verse 7. Now, therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. That word there, prophet, is Nabai. He is a prophet. he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all are thine. Now, the second person Moses refers to as a prophet is a man called Aaron. Exodus chapter 7. Genesis chapter 20, verse 7. And Exodus chapter 7, verse 1. Exodus chapter 7, verse 1. Now, let's show you how to identify a prophet of God, right? Look at Exodus chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Who is a prophet? One who speaks on behalf of. Are we here? So, the word prophet is not only abstract or unique to a man who speaks on behalf of God. Are we learning something? The word there, prophet, is not a word absolute to those who speak on behalf of God. Right? We'll see some examples. So, I have made Aaron thy brother shall be your prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he sends the children of Israel out of his land. So, this shows that Aaron was to speak on behalf of who? Moses. Are we together? Now, let's look at something about a prophet. A prophet might have signs, wonders, have word of knowledge and word of wisdom, but let's be able to differentiate between God's prophets and other prophets, or a prophet in the layman's English. Yeah? Now, look at Genesis 20 again. Where were we? Genesis 20, verse 17. Remember, Moses tells you in Genesis chapter 20, verse 7, and refers to Abraham as a prophet. Moses now tells you in verse 17 of chapter 20, and he says, so Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech. So it means that Abraham also had signs and wonders. Are we together? Abraham also had signs and wonders, but something is unique about Abraham. For Abraham, the word came. Now, look at Genesis 15 first, before Genesis 20. Something is definitely unique about Abraham. Look at Genesis chapter 15, verse 4. Look at Genesis 15, 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, right? Saying, this shall not be thy heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowel shall be thy heir. Are we together? Look at verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Remember, Paul tells you that if you had believed, Jesus tells you rather, if you believe Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote about me. Are we together? Now, look at the promise that was made to Abraham. He says, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars, if thou art able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. Now, verse 6 now says, and he believed in the Lord. Now, let me ask you a question. What did Abraham believe? Did Abraham believe that he will have plenty of children, or believed in the seed of God? Go to Galatians. Go to Galatians quickly. Go to Galatians. Look at the book of Galatians. Look at Galatians chapter, let's see, Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Look at Galatians 3, verse 16. Remember, we're reading where? Genesis. We're reading Genesis 15, verse 4. And it spoke about counting the stars, and so shall thy seed be. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Remember, what did Paul tell Agrippa? I have continued to say no other than that which Moses and the prophets did say should come to pass. So Moses, in the writings in Genesis chapter 15, said Abraham's seed shall be in a way. See what Paul says about that Abraham's seed. Look at Galatians 3, verse 16. Look at Galatians 3, verse 15. It says, brethren, yeah, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulled or added thereunto. Verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed. Can you see that? Now, if we read Genesis chapter 15, yes, you would have thought that Abraham was to have plenty children. Are we together? Yes? Father Abraham had many sons are Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So long, let's praise the Lord. Right leg, left hand, yellow house. See, you are not a child of Abraham. Hallelujah. The last I checked, I'm from Ekiti State. Last I checked, you are not even Jewish. You are not even a Jew. Are we together? Yeah. So Father Abraham is not your father. Let me ask you, how is he your father? Are you denouncing your biological father? Or was it Father Abraham that brought you out by his spirit? You are born again of the womb of God, not of the womb of Abraham. Hallelujah. So Paul tells you, verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Paul did not end there. So where is Paul teaching from? Genesis chapter 15. Look at what he says. He says, and he said not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is what? Christ. And to thy seed, which is what? Christ. Go back to Genesis chapter 5. Go back to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 15, rather. Look at Genesis 15. So, when the promise to Abraham, look at verse 3. Look at Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came. What is the word of the Lord? The word of the Lord will be about the message of the Lord. What is the message of the Lord? Will it be about immediate children of Abraham or thy seed, which is Christ? It has to be about a thy seed, which is Christ, because Moses used Abraham's story to write about God's seed. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look at verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing that I go childless? And the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. So even in the fruitlessness of Abraham and a provision of his seed, Moses did not write about Abraham's seed, but God's seed. How do we know? Paul tells you, not as to seeds as of many, but as to a seed or thy seed, which is Christ. Are we together? So look at verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came. Yeah, what does that mean? That's the message of God. This shall not be thy heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels. So should your attention be on Abraham's bowels or God's bowels? It has to be on something bigger. Because Paul tells you, okay, look at it. Look at verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven. So it means that the narrative of Abraham brought forth by God abroad to look towards heaven is actually a way of Moses writing about the message of the gospel preached to Abraham. How do we know? Paul tells you it is about a seed as of one, not many. So if you look at it, he now says, look now towards heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said, so shall thy seed. Ideally, if they say, look at the stars, and you cannot number them. First of all, there is more than one star. So he's supposed to say, so shall thy seeds be. Seeds as of plenty. But he didn't say, so shall thy seed be. In fact, if you look at the Bible very well, it is a seed without an S. Is that true? It's a seed without an S. Paul now tells you that seed is not about seeds, but a seed. So if you see seed in Genesis chapter 15, a promise to Abraham, and you now see in verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, will it be a believing for Isaac or a believing about the seed, which is Christ? So look at what he now says. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Hello, dear saints. Yes, what did Abraham believe in the Lord for? Even though he believed for a son, what actually made Abraham to be counted, or for it to be counted to Abraham as righteousness, it is only in believing in God's seed, which is in Christ. So Abraham believed the message of Christ. Let me now tell you this way. Did Abraham believe for Isaac? Yes. Did Abraham believe for Christ, the message of Christ? Yes. What made it counted to him as righteousness is not the believing for Isaac. If you think about it this way, it means that what makes a man righteous today, imagine a woman who is barren, and the word of the Lord, maybe a prophecy now comes and says, you will give birth to a child this time next day, and she now believes, now says she's saved. No. You now say she's righteous. No. So verse 6 says he believed. So what did he believe? He believed in the word that came, which is the message. If you lose your, if you read and pay attention only to the story that Moses is telling you, you will not see counted to him as righteousness. No, God will not count it to Abraham as righteousness because he believed for Isaac. No, 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 no. What did he tell Abraham in verse 1? He says, I am thy shield. Yes, and thy exceeding what? Great reward. I am thy shield. And so Abraham believed in verse 6. Now look at Genesis 25. Remember, look at Genesis 26, verse 5. 26, 5. Genesis 26, verse 5. Or look at Genesis chapter 26, verse 3. He says, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee. This is the same Abraham. And I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed, I will give all these countries. Who did Paul say the seed as a promise to Abraham is referring to? Thy seed, which is Christ. So when you see, and unto thy seed, I will give thee all, I will give all these countries. Will that mean Jesus saying, go ye into the world and preach the gospel? Okay. The seed that will have all the countries, will it be Abraham's direct child or Jesus having the nations of the earth? Keep listening, okay? So I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham the father. Oh, this was to Isaac. Yeah? So the same promise to Abraham was the same promise to Isaac. Yeah? So to Abraham, he says, so shall thy seed be. That means it shall be numerous. To Isaac, he says, I will give unto thee, unto thy seed, I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. Look at verse 4. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven. Is that the same story with Abraham? So to Abraham, he says, go look at the stars. Since they are plenty, so shall thy seed be. Yes, and Paul tells you in Galatians 3, it is seed as of one, not many. To Isaac, he says, I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Would that be Isaac's seed or Jesus? It has to be Jesus. See, he now says, because that Abraham obeyed my voice. What is the voice that Abraham obeyed? Genesis chapter 15, the word of the Lord came to Abraham. And what did he do in verse 6? He believed God. So Abraham's believing God is him obeying God's voice. To obey there means to what? Believe, to keep. Are we together? So Abraham obeyed the message. Abraham got the message. That's why you see in Genesis 15, he says the word of the Lord came to Abraham. And what happened in verse 6? He believed. Look at verse 5. It tells you that Abraham believed the message. And he kept my church, my commandment, my statutes, my law. Are we together? So it means that God's plan from time has been about a seed that would have plenty seeds in it. Or in him, so to say. Go back to Genesis 18. In verse 17. Genesis chapter 18, verse 17. Now remember, chapter 18 is after chapter 15, but before chapter 20 and chapter 26 of Isaac. Look at Genesis 18, verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall what? Keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. So God communicates his word, or God's word is communicated to Abraham in Genesis 15, communicated to Abraham in Genesis 18. Note, there were other prophets in scriptures. Moses still lets you know that this person that was you are dealing with as Abraham, he gives him that title, prophet. Now, let's look at a few other prophets, okay? Look at 1 Kings 18, verse 25. 1 Kings 18, verse 25. So, in the real sense, Abraham as a prophet of God, will it be a prophet of God in reference to speaking God's message or speaking about things that will happen in the earth or speaking about random things? Follow? Look at 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings 18, 25. And Elijah said unto the prophets of what? Baal. Can you see? So prophet is not an absolute word for one who speaks on behalf of God. So there were people called prophets of Baal. He says, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first. For ye are many and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. Yeah, so we have prophets of Baals. Look at 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 19. So, when he says the writings of the prophets in Luke 24, will he include prophets of Baals? Nope. Look at 2 Kings 10, verse 19. 2 Kings 10, verse 19. Now, therefore, call unto me all the prophets of Baal and his servants and all his priests. Let none be wanting, for I have a great sacrifice to do to Baal. Whosoever shall be wanting, he shall not live. But Jehu did it in subtlety to the intent that he might destroy the worshippers of Baal. So it means that we have prophets of God, prophets of the Most High, who Moses calls Abraham first, and we have prophets of other gods. We have spokesmen of other gods. We have spokesmen of Baal. But what differentiates God's prophets and other prophets is not signs and wonders. Hallelujah. But the utterances and explanations of God's promise. Are we following? Yeah. What differentiates prophets of God and the prophets of Baal is in their utterances and what is said. That is why Jesus told you. He didn't say believe the signs and wonders of the prophets. He says believe what they said. Luke 24, 25. He says, O fools and slow of heart to believe what the prophet had said. So, how do you know the prophet of God? Not in signs, not in wonders. Abraham had signs. Abraham had wonders. Right? Abraham had the miraculous. Are we together? But what qualifies God's prophet is that their utterances and their explanations are in reference to God's word, which is God's promise. Are we together? So why did Moses call Abraham prophet in Genesis 20? It was because Moses was a spokesperson that heard God's word and he taught his children God's word. That's why in Genesis chapter 18, he says what? I trust that Abraham will teach his children. Are we together? So the message came to Abraham and Abraham gave it as an utterance and explained God's word in his way to his children. So how do you know God's prophet today? How do you know God's prophet in time past? God's prophet is known by the utterances and explanations of God's promise. What they say about God's promise. Are we together? That's why Paul tells you, I witness and continue to witness none other things that Moses and the prophets did say. Their utterances about the Christ, the coming Messiah. Hallelujah. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1. He says, if there arise among you a prophet, a dreamer of dreamers, right? And giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of the prophet. Can you see that? So you would have prophets who will dream, who will do signs and wonders. But if their message says, or exalt another God, what did he say? Thou shalt not hearken unto their words. Now, did Moses disprove their signs and wonders? No. Are we following? Are we following? Look at verse 13 again. Verse 1. If there arise amongst you a prophet, a dreamer of dreams, and he giveth these signs and wonders, And the signs or the wonders come to pass. That means they said if it came to pass. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. They brought from the future and brought it. Whereof he spoke unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. What did he say? Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that what? Prophet. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and reverence him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. What was the instruction to Abraham? Obey my voice. What did Abraham do? Abraham kept the statutes, obeyed the voice of God. That's the message. And ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. Verse 5. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. You know, I said it on Sunday. Moses prayed, Lord, we die, dead. Because he had spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shall thou put the evil away from amongst thee. So we must consider the prophet and what? The things they say. It is in what they point you to that you know that which is of God. Yeah, it is their message. So if Jesus says you do not believe the Moses or you do not believe the prophet and he called them fools, it means that if you are not careful, you will read the writings of Moses and the prophet just the way those people read it, and Jesus will still call us fools. Are we here or have you gone home? Yeah? Let me say it again. If you read the writings of the prophets, Moses and the prophets, the way the disciples read it in Luke, as at Luke 24, verse 21, when Jesus resurrected, yeah, you will most likely not get the message, and you will still remain people who Jesus called old fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. So it means that in reading the prophets, we must consider the prophets, their utterances, and their mode of communication. We need to sit where their audience sat while they prophesied. So you will see Habakkuk. He says, though the vision is yet for an appointed time, wait for it. It will surely come to pass, though it may tarry. Right? You can see that as your day-to-day business. But you will be in the category of people Jesus called old fools. Are we together? So, let's backtrack a little. Now remember, historically, Genesis to Malachi, they were written in Hebrew. Right? So the authors and the audience would have been Jewish people of different times and ages. So they would never forget two things in scriptures, right? The languages, Moses was the first person to write about God's promise or God's language or God's plan. And God communicates his words in human language. Are we together? So the prophet, including Moses, communicated God's promise in human language. How is it so? Because the people needed to be able to understand or comprehend what the prophets were saying at the time. So God's word is not in an abstract language. God's word is in a language that the people understand per time, per location. Are we here? Yes. God communicates his words, his promise in human language. So, at the time, Genesis to Malachi, primarily in English, or rather in Hebrew, yeah, what you now call Matthew to Revelation in the real sense, you know, has a mixture of Greek, you know, because that was the most commonly used language in the time of Jesus. In the real sense, Hebrew language was still there, you know, but there was Greek, there was Aramaic, there was something what you call the kind of Greek we're speaking at the time was what you call the Hellenic Greek. That's Hellenic. Yeah, so we have the Aramaic and we have the Hellenic Greek. Now, that is to tell you that what? Language is important in Bible interpretation. So, even though you know the prophets and you know what they wrote, you must be able to sit where the prophets sat to be able to understand what the prophets are saying per time. Are we together? You must be able to sit where the prophets sat and understand their modes of communication. Yeah? Remember, language over the years, right? We've seen a lot of evolving. Yes? Language has evolved over the years. So a lot of words used by writers and prophets in those days, yeah, will not have the exact meaning today. But we need to painstakingly become what students of the word, Be diligent. Be diligent. Be diligent. Be diligent. Be diligent. So we must be diligent in understanding their prophets and their writings, else we will find ourselves in unbelief. Let's go back to Luke 24 and end there. Luke 24, verse 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 24. Bible says, look at verse 21. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were earlier in the sepulchre. And when they found not the body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. Verse 24. And certain of them which went to the sepulchre, and found it even so, as the women had said, but Jesus they saw not. Verse 25. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophet has spoken. Remember, how do you know the prophet that speaks of God or speaks for God? You look at their utterances and their explanations and see how they point to what? The sufferings and the glorification of Christ. That's why Jesus tells them in verse 26, the summary of the utterances of the prophets is what? Christ will suffer and enter into his glory. Then what did Jesus do in verse 27? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Hallelujah. So, in today, what do you suppose that Jesus would have done to Moses' writing about Abraham and thy seed? What will happen? It will mean that Jesus will say, that seed that Moses wrote about, yeah, it's a seed that is actually myself. It is a seed that points to me. A seed that points to salvation. Hallelujah. It's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. I hope you've been able to learn a few things here and there this evening. Cheers. I love you all.